And in the latest local news, firefighters in Griswold were called to the scene of a garage fire on Friday evening. The call went out at 7:17 p.m. for the blaze behind 906 Main Street. Griswold Assistant Fire Chief Jim Wyman lives nearby. He said he could see lots of smoke before crews arrived on the scene.
We get here, it's fully engulfed. Jed Peck, one of the firemen, came down the alley and said it was hot. We know there's a lot of construction tools and stuff in there. It belonged to a little construction company here in town. And air compressors, propane tanks, a little bit of everything.
Power lines nearby fell to the ground and produced some fireworks when they burned and popped numerous times, showering sparks for several feet each time. Wyman said they had no idea what started the blaze, the flames of which scorched nearby vacant homes and other structures.
Like I said, it was fully engulfed long before we got here. I'm surprised that somebody didn't, you know, turn it in, because being this close to the Casey store and everything.
A Volkswagen Bug from the 1970s parked near the structure was also damaged by the flames. No injuries were reported. Crews were on the scene for over an hour. You can see some images from outside that fire scene on the same story at KJN.com. Fire claimed the life of a resident of a home located in the 200 block of West 1st Street in Casey. Another person was said to have been injured. Firefighters from Casey, Adair, Menlo, as well as rescue crews from Stewart and Casey responded to the blaze that was reported a little before 3:30 p.m. The names of the victims had not been released as of late Friday evening. The state fire marshal's office was called in to investigate. Additional information is currently not available. Two people were arrested after a search warrant was executed in Red Oak on Friday. The Red Oak Police Department, along with the Montgomery County Sheriff's Office and Montgomery County Sheriff's Office K-9 Unit, executed a search warrant in the 200 block of East Corning Street in Red Oak. As a result of the search, officers arrested 28-year-old Nefertiti Sandoval of Red Oak on charges of possession of ammunition by a felon, a Class D felony, possession of a Schedule II narcotic, a Class C felony, and possession of drug paraphernalia, a simple misdemeanor. Officers also arrested 38-year-old Nicole K. Anthony of Red Oak for possession with intent to deliver amphetamine, a Class B felony, and possession of drug paraphernalia, a simple misdemeanor. Both suspects are being held at the Montgomery County Law Enforcement Center. Sandoval's being held on $50,000 cash bond, and Anthony being held on $100,000 cash bond. Further charges are pending the finalization of the investigation. The Montgomery County Sheriff's Office made an early morning arrest here this morning after a traffic stop at 3rd and East Reed Streets in Red Oak. At 4:21 a.m., deputies arrested 46-year-old Alfred Charles Barrett of Red Oak for OWI 4th offense, Class D felony, and driving while barred, an aggravated misdemeanor. Barrett was taken to the Montgomery County Law Enforcement Center and held on $5,000 bond. A Red Oak woman was cited after losing control of her vehicle and hitting a utility pole on Friday. Red Oak police responded to the accident at 6:15 p.m. Friday on North 8th Street. Officers determined that 18-year-old Ashley Lynn Brower of Red Oak was driving a 2005 Chevy Tahoe northbound on North 8th Street and lost control. Brower struck a utility pole on the east side of the street owned by MidAmerican Energy. Damage to the pole was estimated at $500, while the Tahoe sustained an estimated $6,000 damage. Brower was uninjured in the accident and was cited for failure to maintain control. A bicyclist escaped serious injuries after she was struck by a car Thursday afternoon in Creston. Authorities said Friday, Jaden Sexton of Creston was riding a bike westbound across West Adams Street when she was struck by a 2003 Ford Taurus driven by 43-year-old Scott Little of Creston, as Little was traveling south on Elm Street. Sexton and Little had both stopped at the intersection, but when Little pulled out, he failed to see the approaching bicycle. The accident happened around 12:25 p.m. Thursday. Sexton suffered possible minor injuries and was transported to the Greater Regional Medical Center by one of her parents, and no citations were issued. The Audubon County Sheriff's Office on Friday said a man from Exira was arrested Thursday following an investigation into an incident that occurred earlier in the 500 block of Hill Haven in Exira. 56-year-old Roger Thomas Waters, Jr. was arrested at around 8 p.m. on two counts of domestic abuse assault and two counts of child endangerment. Waters was brought to the Audubon County Jail and later released after appearing before the magistrate. An escapee from the Fort Madison Correctional Facility was captured Thursday afternoon in Stewart, and a woman from Stewart was arrested as an accessory in harboring him. Stuart Police said a Stuart Police officer was investigating the reported sighting of an escaped fugitive, 31-year-old Joseph LeClaire Jr., at around noon on Thursday in the 300 block of North Main Street. Laura Sue Bodler of Stuart answered the door when the officer knocked but refused to cooperate with the officer. Bodler then left the property and allegedly made a false 911 call, reporting LeClaire to be at a different location. The officer called in assistance from Guthrie and Adair County Sheriff's Offices and the State Patrol to surround the house while he prepared a search warrant. At approximately 3:30 p.m., officers entered the house with a search warrant and found LeClaire hiding inside. LeClaire was arrested and transported to the Guthrie County Jail. Bodler was arrested on charges that include false reports to or communications with public safety entities and accessory after the fact. You may recall LeClaire was involved in a similar incident last year when he escaped from work release for over a two-month period from May to July. He was subsequently arrested in Polk County following that incident. Authorities in Memphis, Tennessee say they have arrested and obtained murder indictments for two men suspected in the January shooting death of an Iowa man traveling through the city. Lonnie Ludvigson of Edgewood was driving a truck for a shipping company when he stopped in Memphis on January 9th. Four masked men approached his truck, robbed him, and shot him. The Commercial Appeal in Memphis reports police have 18-year-old Devonta Vaughn in custody and 19-year-old DeMarco McKinley was arrested in Dallas and will be extradited to Memphis. And police credit a Crime Stoppers tip. Ludvigson was 48. His mother, Donna Ludvigson, says she's relieved that police have made progress in the investigation of her son's death. Attorney information for Vaughn and McKinley was not yet listed in online court records. And several events are planned for this Independence Day weekend around the KJN listening area. The City of Exira's 151st 4th of July celebration began yesterday, and then today they're having the are scheduled to have. Of course, we'll see how the rain affects things, but the 35th annual Exira Road Run was set to get underway this morning at 8 a.m. A free will donation pancake feed takes place at the old fire hall from 8 to 10. They'll have a Cloyd slow pitch softball tournament this afternoon at Legion Park, beginning at 1 o'clock with concessions and beer garden available. And on Sunday, they've got the Ecumenicals Church Service at the Rec Center beginning at 10:30. At 2 o'clock, the Exira High School Class of 1966 Alumni Coffee at the Exira EHK Middle School. Their Independence Day Rodeo starts at 3 p.m. at the Kickapoo Park with beer garden and concessions. Sunday evening, Exira Community Club will hold a barbecue at the City Park with the Audubon County Cattlemen grilling burgers from 5 to 6, or 5 to 7, along with a beer garden from 5 to 9. And Monday, they have the parade starting at 10:30, grand fireworks display at 9:45 in the evening at the Spartan football field. And the City of Oakland's Independence Day celebration runs Sunday and Monday. On Sunday, there's worship in the park at 10 o'clock, Zumba near the City Park gazebo from 5 to 6. 7 o'clock, the PEO Chapter EQ presents a What Do You Know trivia night at the Community Center. Monday, the Volunteer Fire Department will hold their annual pancake feed from 7 into 10:30. And there is also a tractor and car shows, musical entertainment, midway games and activities, and the Independence Day parade at 5 p.m. and fireworks over Chautauqua Park beginning to fly at dusk. In Greenfield, their parade begins at 11 a.m. The annual Marnie July 4th celebration will be held on July 4th at the Marnie Park. Flag raised at 6 p.m. with a meal to follow, fireworks beginning at dusk. And in Atlantic, the annual JC's flight breakfast at the airport takes place from 7 until 11 a.m. Monday, featuring pancakes from the Pancake Man. Food will be free for fly-ins and $6 for others. And the Kiwanis Club of Atlantic will hold a concession stand and DJ music starting at 7 p.m. at the airport. And the JC-sponsored fireworks at the airport begin at dusk with patriotic music being played. And you can see more details on events at our Daily Diary page at KJN.com. That's a look at some of the latest news here this morning. Now taking a look at your funeral announcements. Laura Sandin, age 60 of Erling, died Saturday the 25th at the Mertu Medical Center in Harlan. Funeral services for Laura Sandin will be held today at 10 a.m. at the Bellevue Memorial Chapel in Bellevue, Nebraska. That's at 2202 Hancock Street. Eldon E. Lyon, age 85 of Council Bluffs, died Wednesday at the Hospice with Heart Hospice House in Glenwood. Funeral services for Eldon E. Lyon will be held on today at 11 a.m. at the New Horizon Presbyterian Church. A lunch will immediately follow in the parish hall. The Cutler O'Neill Meyer Woodring Bayless Park Chapel has the arrangements. Michael Douglas Knoll, age 54 of Griswold, died Wednesday. Celebration of life ceremony for Mike Knoll will be held today at 1:30 p.m. at the Griswold Community Building. Visitation with the family will follow the celebration of life until 4 p.m. Dune Funeral Home in Griswold has the arrangements. Mary Ann Christensen, age 83, a longtime resident west of Atlantic, died Thursday at the Cass County Memorial Hospital. Per her wishes, Mary Ann will be cremated, and the family is planning a celebration of life at St. Paul's Lutheran Church in Atlantic with the date and time pending. And Christine Ware Peterson, age 46, of Greenfield, died Thursday at her home in Greenfield. Funeral services for Christine Ware Peterson are pending at the Steen Funeral Home in Greenfield. That's a look at the latest in news and funeral announcements here on KJAN. I'm Chris Parks, KJAN News.